morning and welcome to the
your home for the 80s, 90s, and more. WCFW FM and WCFW HD1 Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire.
Streaming live on the Free Civic Media app. ZionLCMSCF.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His word.
All right, sorry about that. I'm not sure. Must have a loose connection going on, but wasn't intended to use that to get your attention. But now that I have your attention, good morning. Welcome to our worship service. Some announcements for you. Periodically, I like to mention our radio fund, which is supported by contributions specifically given for the radio fund. It doesn't come out of the budget, so it's intended to continue as long as people want it to continue. And we do have shut-ins who only listen on the radio. They don't have internet access or the ability to watch the streaming. And of course, it goes out on the radio airwave. So if you want to contribute to that, please designate that on your offering. Also, let's see. Wednesdays, you're invited to come. Our midweek services during Lent. We have a meal at 5:30, and then divine service at 6:30, and then the hymns for today. Let me announce those for those listening on the radio. We're following divine service setting 4, beginning on page 203 of the hymnal. Our opening hymn is 588. The day is surely drawing near. The hymn of the day is 422. On my heart, imprint your image. During distribution, we'll sing hymn 730. What is the world to me? 621, let all mortal flesh keep silence. 673, Jerusalem, my happy home. Our closing hymn, 728, how firm a foundation. I'm kind of using part of a sermon prepared by Reverend Dr. John Feeney, so give him credit. So let's begin with our opening hymn. Hold on. Oh, thank you. Yeah, did I? Thank you. Yeah, that. No. Yeah. Did we not get the right one? Okay, thank you. That was. Yeah, no, it's 508. Thank you. I didn't correct it here. I caught it before, and it was supposed to be. Anyway, hopefully, Chuck. It was right before, and now it's okay. It's always good to have Pastor Jones with us, so thank you. Let's sing the same hymn that gives a semblance of harmony as a congregation. So 508. Thanks. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism, you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven your faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We turn to the yellow insert and sing together the introit. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Lent is from Jeremiah chapter 26. When Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, and the priests and the prophets, and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, 'This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitant'?" And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priest and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, "This man deserves the sentence of death, because he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears." Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now, therefore, mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I'm in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears." This is the word of the Lord. We continue by singing together the gradual on the yellow inserts. The epistle is from Philippians chapters 3 and 4. "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved." This is the word of the Lord. Please stand in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem.' Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You were chosen, set apart to be different in this world. And while many in our society today believe that you should have the pursuit of pleasure as a human right and the ability to get what you want when you want it as essential, as necessary, you're different. You've been baptized into Christ to be different. We do face temptations, but Christ enables us to resist and gives us a way out of that temptation. And regardless of our perspective, he promises to provide for all of our needs. We also face opposition to the faith that we've been given, but Christ strengthens us, enables us to stand firm in him, in the faith he's given us. Even so, it's not easy to stand. We admire those who stand firm in the face of temptation and in the face of opposition. They do serve as role models for us and encourage us. We especially admire those who suffer because of their firm stand in Christ. And the Bible provides many role models for us. Jeremiah is one example. In our Old Testament reading, we heard about Jeremiah standing firm on God's word, and even while they wanted him to be killed because of what he was saying, he stood firm. And he did it for the sake of those who wanted to kill him. He said, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now, therefore, mend your ways and your deeds and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he's pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I'm in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right." The Apostle Paul was another role model, another example of one who would stand firm, enduring opposition and suffering. And in our epistle reading today, Paul is calling upon all Christians to stand firm in the faith when faced with false teachers and false gospels. You've been baptized into the grace of God. It is a gift of Christ's righteousness. And Christ is the armor that Paul reminds us to put on in his letter to the Ephesians in order to stand firm. The Lord wants to keep you in his grace, and he desires that all enter into his grace. As we heard in the gospel from Jesus, he's like a hen gathers her brood. He would gather all God's children to safety and protection under his outstretched arms. And we stay under him. We're like chicks under the mother hen. We stand firm while he calls and he gathers us to him and others to him. And we do so for our own protection, but also for encouragement. For encouragement of one another, he gathers us together like he does when we gather for the divine service. But also for those who are not willing, not currently willing, he's still calling to gather them under him. And to stand firm means that we are to remain discerning and steadfast in the faith when faced with false teachers and false gospels who present real dangers to our faith, even if it means suffering or for forfeiting certain worldly pleasures. And in order that we stand firm, he calls upon us to model our lives after true servants of the gospel of our Lord who have remained steadfast and unmoved in their faith. In our evil pleasure-seeking day, this is especially critical. Christians need to stand firm, steadfast in their devotion to the gospel of Jesus and his grace. It will be difficult to stand firm, steadfast in the faith. Our standing firm and steadfast is endangered by weak faith when it's faced with tribulations on account of God's word and with life's worries and wealth. Recall the parable of the sower. Some hear the word with joy but have no root. So when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they fall away. Others hear the word, but worries and wealth choke it out. We rejoice in God's word, for it assures us that Jesus has earned heaven for us by his death and resurrection. But we also worry, and material things are always tempting. We're troubled and we worry when people don't like what we say or do because of our faith. We're troubled when people express hostility against those standing on God's word, such as life beginning at conception and declaring that the killing of an unborn baby in the mother's womb is murder. We worry when someone expresses disdain and mocks people who believe such things in the Bible as God created the world in 6 days. And God instituted marriage to be between one man and one woman. And he did this as an image of his love for his bride, the church. When we're not standing firm in Christ and his word, that he knows that our needs and his promises, that we're not trusting that to provide for us, then we worry. We worry about not having enough. Or maybe as we accumulate more, we're tempted to put our faith in the things that he's given us instead of the Lord. These are dangerous to our faith. Our standing firm, steadfast, is endangered by false teachers who pridefully promote obedience to the law as a way of meriting heaven. Paul had every reason to boast in his past spiritual life, his circumcision, his lineage, a model Hebrew, a Pharisee's zeal for the law, even persecuting those who thought opposed it. But he found something far greater, Christ. Everything else he counted as loss, even garbage, compared to knowing Jesus and the righteousness Christ gives through faith. Paul was willing to share in Jesus' sufferings, even death, in order to share in Jesus' resurrection. Many were teachers of the law who hated Paul for robbing them of their so-called glory. Many are the false teachers today, who boast in their own works and deeds and spiritual accomplishments, always seeking disciples to emulate them and follow their example. Theirs is a pretense of holiness that's not acceptable to God. We should not allow our gospel to be confused with their teachings of works righteousness. We should not compromise the gospel for the sake of peace. Our standing firm, steadfast is endangered by false teachers who promote sexual deviance and immorality as Christian liberty. The Philippians faced false teachers who promised to give them the liberty of indulging their sinful natures, whether it was in materialism and greed or in sexual seductions. And times haven't changed. Today we see many, many denominations claiming to be Christian, literally advocating for deviant sexuality, as they're indifferent to all the other violations of the commandments of God. Homosexuality is sin. Adultery is sin. Sex outside of marriage is sin. Lusting in your heart, whether it be a real person or pornographic image, is sin. When you give in to these, when you condone these, when you allow these, you're not standing firm. You're falling into a destructive lifestyle. And we must not allow ourselves to be drawn into that web. For by keeping the faith in Christ, we have eternal salvation. But if we allow any of these dangers to destroy our faith, we lose eternal life. We uphold and speak God's command so that those who are sinning may mend their ways and their deeds and obey the voice of the Lord, that the Lord will relent of the disaster pronounced against those who are living in rebellion against him. And the Lord calls sinners to repentance so that they may be saved by his grace and not lost to eternal damnation. The good news is that our standing firm, steadfast in the faith of God is overcoming each of these dangers. When faith stands firm in the face of tribulation, for the sake of the gospel, God makes weak faith stronger and deeper. We see that other things we've been depending on, our intelligence, our goodness, our possessions, cannot help us. All we can count on is that Jesus' cross has made us God's children again, with all the promises that come from being his. It's like the seed planted in good soil, with roots down deep into the soil of God's word. The Christian's life becomes fruitful. When faith stands firmly on the righteousness of Christ, God is showing us the error of teachers of works righteousness, and we can avoid them. Jesus' perfect life and sinless death is a righteousness that is not our own, but is a gift given to us. It's the only truth by which we can be saved. Confidence in this righteousness of Christ saves us from sin and death. Any teacher who sends us looking at our works for assurance or doubt about our salvation, we know is false. When faith in Christ stands firm, God is leading us to grasp and appreciate how much more wonderful is living as a citizens of the kingdom of God, the heavenly Jerusalem, than wallowing in the appetites and immoralities of this world. We are citizens of an eternal city and kingdom. It's far greater than anything this world has to offer. Just as Paul was given the gift of Roman citizenship, we have received the citizenship in the eternal kingdom of Christ. And knowing this helps us to reject life's materialistic and sensual temptations. So why not then model our lives after our Lord and those who stood firm, steadfast on behalf of the gospel? What they received, we also will receive. Why not model after the steadfastness of Jesus, who was rejected by men? He left the joy of heaven and endured the cross and all its shame. And then he was seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He is our greatest encouragement not to grow weary and lose heart. Why not model after the courage and perseverance of the Apostle Paul and his fellow missionaries as they sacrificed everything for the sake of the pure gospel? Paul preached the word, pure doctrine, in and out of season with great patience, even to those whose itching ears wanted something entirely different. And he endured hardship and eventually was poured out like a drink offering, killed. Yet he fought the good fight. He finished the race, kept the faith, and finally received the crown of righteousness. That crown is for us too, for all who love the Lord's appearing. Why not model our life after those in our own history and even in the present world have remained steadfast in the Christian faith? Saints of the early church, of the Reformation, and even today face persecution on account of Christ. We may not think what we do matters, but when we're steadfast in the face of suffering or persecution, even in the smallest ways, we will be models for those who are around us and those who will come after us. Christians are called to remain steadfast in the faith, as we must be willing to endure hardship for the sake of the gospel. There are many times when our citizenship in the kingdom of God calls upon us to endure hardship and suffering. Suffering for the sake of the gospel is a noble thing when it is intended to liberate us from all who would rob us of the freedom and faith Christ Jesus has given us. Heroes are those who serve as models, as examples of such steadfastness in the face of suffering. You are called by God to imitate those who have endured such hardships for the sake of the gospel. Stand firm in faith, Christians. Stand firm in the faith of Christ our Lord. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this and all congregations, that the Lord would remember them, strengthen and defend his pastors and servants in the church, and cause his people rightly to fear his wrath and rejoice in his redemption. Let us pray to the Lord. For hope in a world convulsed by sin, that we would believe that our eternal citizenship is in heaven, and that our Lord Jesus Christ will subject all things to himself, transforming our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. Let us pray to the Lord. For our homes, that they would not be places to worship our bellies, glory and shame, or set our minds on earthly things, but a refuge of love while here and a foretaste of our heavenly home. Let us pray to the Lord. For our nation and its officials, that the Lord would give them wisdom and integrity, and that neither they nor the citizens of our land would hinder his church or despise his call to repentance. Let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and afflicted, especially Shirley, Fred, Anita, Dan, Joanne, Lois, Louis, Mary, Harold, Richard, Marlis, Tim, Rick, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marlene, Kathy, Doris, Mark, Diane, Kara, Leah, Erno, Jeff, Ethel, and Cookie, that he would cast out demons and perform cures on his way to the cross, would strengthen their faith and deliver them from suffering. Let us pray to the Lord. For repentance and joyful confidence in Christ's body and blood, for the forgiveness of our sins, and that God would gather us at his altar in a true confession of his word, as a hen gathers her chicks. Let us pray to the Lord. For courage to bear reproach and declare boldly the name of Jesus, who suffered reproach and bore our sins to the cross, let us pray to the Lord. Hear us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. receive the blessing of our Lord, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may be seated as the offering is gathered. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. At your command, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain, yet in mercy you provided a ram as a substitute. We give you thanks that on Calvary you spared not your only Son, but sent him to offer his life as a ransom for many. As we eat and drink his body and blood, grant us, like Abraham our father, to trust in your promise now, fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Bye.